In the reading from the second book of Samuel, King David has a plan. It's a good plan. It's a selfless plan. David wants to build a house for God. David's living in a house of cedar, and God dwells in a tent. And as prophet, Nathan is David's sort of divine reality check, and he affirms David's plan. And what's not to like about that plan? It glorifies God. David has a good plan, but God has a great plan in mind. God tells his plan to Nathan. God will build David a house. Not a house of cedar, but a different kind of house, a royal dynasty. God's plan did not mean that there would be no difficulty or sorrow. David's earthly dynasty of flesh will soon pass away. There will be exile in Babylon, and foreign powers will occupy the land for centuries. But in the end, David's heir will come, and he will rule forever. And the heir of the house of David, of course, will be Jesus. As good as David's plan was, God had a better plan, an exponentially better plan. In the Gospel from Luke, Mary's visited by the angel Gabriel. And when Gabriel tells her that she will conceive and bear a son, her response is, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" Now clearly, Gabriel's message would not be surprising if her plan was to have children with Joseph after they got married. The only thing that seems to make sense out of her response is that she was planning on remaining a virgin even after marriage. Mary has a plan. It's a good plan. It's a selfless plan. But Gabriel goes on to tell her that God himself will be the father of her child, and that child will be called holy. And as she will find out, her son will become the savior of the world. Mary has a good plan, but God has a great plan in mind. God is fulfilling his promise to David through Mary. Jesus is that house that God promised he would build for David. As with David, God's plan for Mary is not without difficulty and sorrow. Mary will bear her child among livestock. She and her family will become refugees, fleeing from a murderous tyrant. And she will watch her only child be brutally killed in front of her. But in the end, her child will rise. The power of death will be broken, and the gates of heaven will be opened. As good as Mary's plan was, God had a better plan, an exponentially better plan. And perhaps these biblical examples seem too remote. Maybe you're thinking, well, that sort of thing may happen to exceptional people like David and Mary, but those sort of things don't happen to ordinary people like me. Let me give you a more recent example. There was a boy who was an army brat, and his family moved from base to base. And when he was older, he learned to become a watchmaker. In his early 20s, he wanted to become a monk. And he approached a monastery, and there was no issue whatsoever about his spiritual life, about his discipline, or about his charity. But he couldn't learn Latin, and that was a deal breaker for the monastery, and so they turned him away. This young man had a plan. It was a good plan. It was a selfless plan. The young man returned to watchmaking, and in his 30s, he got married. He and his wife had planned to remain celibate in their marriage. until their priest confessor advised them not to do so. And they ended up having 9 children. The wife died of breast cancer in her mid-40s. Of those 9 children, 5 entered religious life. That man was Louis Martin, and his wife was Zélie Grand Martin. And one of the daughters that entered religious life was Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, a doctor of the church. And both Louis and Zélie became canonized saints. Louis had a good plan, but God had a great plan in mind. God's plan didn't mean that there would be no sorrow or difficulty. The death of Zélie left a large hole in their family, and 4 of their children died in infancy. As good as Louis's plan was, God had an even better plan, an exponentially better plan. The lesson for us from the lives of David, Mary, and the Martins is not to get too attached to our plans. That doesn't mean we shouldn't make plans, but it does mean that we should remain open to a different plan if it comes from God. There are going to be times when God's plan does not look better than our plans. But whether we follow our plan or God's plan, there will be difficulty and sorrow because we live in a fallen world. God typically doesn't will that difficulty or sorrow, but he does permit it, and he can draw good even from that. So stick with God's plan. Trust that God wants you to be happy even more than you do. Believe what God said through his prophet Jeremiah. "For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe, so as to give you a future of hope."